In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you listen carefully to the people around you, you will discover that this is cold season. And I think all of us this winter have already had at least one cold. And one of the things that I hope all of us do, I certainly do it, is when my cold is getting the better of me and I know it's transitioned to something worse, I go to see my doctor. And my doctor will prescribe the appropriate drug, typically some sort of antibiotic to get rid of all of the horrible things that are happening inside of my body, and lo and behold, I start to feel better. And that's the beauty of going to see your doctor and then taking the medication that's good for you. There are these remedies, they're very well known, it's just a matter of using them. And it would actually be kind of silly, wouldn't it, if we had a really bad cold that had become something worse, and you didn't start taking drugs to help you with that. It would be, what's the point of modern medical science if we can't help you get better? Well, Christianity is a religion that offers antidotes. And we know that, I hope we all know that, that Christianity is a religion of healing, and just in case we forget that, we have a lot of accounts in the gospel about healings, like this morning's healing of the 10 lepers by Jesus. And it's to remind us that we are people who follow a God that is a healing God. We are here today for many reasons, but one of them is to be healed. In a different way, St. Paul reminds us of this in this morning's epistle. And he tells us these things that we are to put aside from our lives, to cast out from our lives, but we know that as Christians, the only way we can possibly really cast these things aside from our lives is by believing in Jesus Christ. And he lists them: impurity, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk. All of these things we can be healed of and cured of in God's own time, in his own way, if we follow him. And that's, again, why we are here today. And in a world that seems to be filled with disunity, St. Paul reminds us there cannot be Greek or Jew, slave, free, etc. Christ is what? Christ is all and in all. And so if we want to see true unity in the world, then we all need to live as Christians, and we will experience that unity. All of these types of healings are offered to us. Recently, I heard someone being interviewed on television. He was talking about what he considered to be the two of the greatest crises that contemporary mankind faces, at least mankind in the Western world. And these two crises are the following. One is constant change and accelerating change. And there are various words, actually, that have been coined to describe the way life is changing around us. They call them dislocations, disruptions. This idea that the job that exists today might not even exist tomorrow. And that's all happening very, very quickly. This advance of technology, changes of jobs, etc. And this person regards this as something that's very damaging to and threatening to our very humanity and the way we look at life. And the second affliction or crisis of modern humanity that this man was describing is something called isolation, human isolation, and the great irony that while we might spend hours a day on the computer communicating with people, ultimately we're very isolated from each other. And my fear is that people that didn't grow up in San Francisco and have moved here recently, you know that very well. San Francisco itself can be a very isolating city, even though we're surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people. And those two things, constant change, this accelerating change really, and human isolation, if we do think about it, they are two of the great emotional and really spiritual scourges of our time. But in the same way that if you go to your doctor will prescribe the medicine needed to knock out a cold that's gotten worse, in that very same way, I can confidently stand here today as a Christian, as an adult Christian, and say to you that we have the antidote. We have the antidote for these two great scourges, this business of constant change and this business of human isolation. The fact that we are Christian, the fact that we are Orthodox Christian, is one of the greatest ways to counteract the change of life. Because we believe in a God that is unchanging. We follow a faith that is 2,000 years old. We are part of a tradition that transcends all cultures, places, times, and languages, because every place it has ever been, it has flourished. And the eternal truth, we know what that eternal truth is, that God not only made us out of his love for us, but then he came to save us by taking on our flesh so that we could overcome all of the struggles, the pain, the sorrow of this life, even death itself. That is the eternal, unchanging truth. I am not ashamed to say it is a fact, not a speculation, not a postulation, not a theory, not a wishful hope, or not a philosophy. It is an absolute fact, and it is an unchanging fact. And if you've been at one of the baptisms I've done, I will frequently talk about this at baptisms. How wonderful it is when we come to a baptism, that we are doing a service that has been essentially the same for about 1,700 years. How we are following a God that is eternal and unchanging. And how wonderful that is, because of the rest of our life does change at such an accelerated rate. And then there is this scourge of isolation. And it's real. And it is a bitter irony of life in our world that you can live in a region full of people and still feel isolated. And again, I would say that we have the antidote for isolation, because what is it that we offer as the body of Christ? We offer community. Community. And this is a loving community, a warm community, an accepting community. A community that shies away from judgmentalism and snarkiness and gossip, and that's such a blessing. I can remember back in the 80s when I was in seminary, there were some popular books written about the need for community and how one goes about even acquiring it. And I remember, and I mentioned it in one of my classes, that I thought that was such a pivotal issue, and my professor said, well, you know, really, those are just passing fads. We need the faith, the Cappadocian traditional faith of Orthodoxy. Of course he was right, but he wasn't quite right, because the quest for community, the need for community, the ways we develop community, at least in the past 30 years, that hasn't changed one bit. We need it, and there are ways that we can create it. And it is one of the things the church offers. I hope it's obvious that the whole life of the church, if you will, is a way of sharing this community with one another and with the world. And particularly, obviously, when we gather here on Sunday mornings for Divine Liturgy. This is the body coming together to worship the one God that unites us. This is above all, how we become community. And it is such a humbling thing to see that on Sunday morning, when it's not storming, that there are so many people in church, and then how many people are here to receive communion together so that we can be community through communion. And here at Holy Trinity, we have, if you will, an added bonus to this quest for community, because so much of our ministries are based on relations, on discussion, on human interaction. That's how our young adult group is. That's what we try to do with our teens. And certainly that's what we do with this activity that resumes again on Tuesday nights that we call Faith and Fellowship, our small groups ministry. The idea behind the small groups ministry is not simply to impart knowledge about the Bible, to impart knowledge about our faith, but to experience what it means to really be in relation with another human being. So that what? so that we can grow as Christians, so that we can grow as humans, so that we can overcome the isolation of this world. And you probably have noticed by now that every time we are getting ready to resume the new semester for Faith and Fellowship, that I talk about it and I emphasize it. And I do it, why? Because I've seen it work. It's already working in people's lives. There's no accident that we get about 50 or more people per week there. And even if you've never, ever, ever been to it, I would say try to come this Tuesday at 6:30. If you can't get there exactly at 6:30, that's fine. And see what it's about. And give it a few weeks. And I am fairly certain that you will not only not be disappointed, but that you will find something very special going on at our Faith and Fellowship group. So that is this morning's very simple message. It's a message about healing. It's a message about healing. Who among us, if we were sick and went to the doctor and said, I got just the thing for you. Here's a prescription. Go to the pharmacy, get this filled, you'll be fine. Who among us wouldn't go to the pharmacy and get that filled? It would be almost like a sense of willful self-destruction. And when it comes to healing, when it comes to the problems of the world, isn't it just as silly not to take advantage of the antidote, the answer, the cure? Because the antidote and the answer and the cure for the crises that face us, this changing, rapidly changing life, this need for community, it's all right here in our church, in this parish. The only thing that we have to do is to make sure that we partake of those things that heal us.